And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show right here on RBN. Today is Saturday, the 22nd day of January in the year of our Lord, 2022. Hope everybody's having a great weekend so far. Rick has a lot of stuff to cover, a lot of gardening stuff, and we're going to jump right into it. Good morning, Rick.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. Gardening stuff. Yeah, we are gonna jump into it. Before we do that, though, you know, we have this limited amount of time before the first break.
Right.
I do want to talk about gardening. I want to talk about gardening as it applies to all of us now. We did this before a year or two ago, and now we see supply chain issues with respect to a lot of food stuff, especially with the Canadian border problem and all that. But before we do that, I want to address an issue that. That I find, I would say fascinating, a situation that is ongoing, really, and that would be everybody's spiritual well-being. There is a subject, and the reason, of course, we brought this up any number of times. The reason, of course, I want to talk about this is because, as we, I think, said in the last show or two, you know, it's nice to have some food set aside, and it's nice to have your financial affairs in order. It's great. You know, it gives you a real sense of peace. What a lot of people are missing, people in my very young family are missing, is one critical element that will give you a sense of peace, and that is being constantly involved in an endeavor to improve yourself, especially with respect to your position with the Lord. Now,
I agree.
I don't see myself as a holy person. I don't see myself as a teacher of any kind. In fact, I've said it a dozen times. I'm the worst teacher on the planet.
I disagree with that.
Well,
no, I really do, Rick. Is. You're a wonderful teacher.
I wish I was better.
No, you really are.
Thanks. I appreciate it. with respect to that, I was talking over the last couple weeks about prayer, and in specific, I mentioned a rosary. And don't run if you're not Catholic. No reason to get excited here. I'm going somewhere with this. The reason that the devil dislikes that tool so much is because of this. I think it is widely held in religious circles that your prayers are always heard, not just occasionally. Your prayers are always heard and always answered. Okay, so if that's true, then you have to instantaneously opine that the devil also knows this, and that is exactly why he doesn't want to see you with anything, a tool that would represent prayer, because you're going to be undermining his very important work. And so that is, I think, the reason why it, I lost my page. Let me jump forward to this. I'm going to talk about, for a minute, not a lot, just for a couple minutes, about what we would call an examination of conscience. So I have heard, like deacons and stuff in my church say these things, and I thought it was fascinating because I saw myself in there. He said, sometimes I think that I am in a pretty decent position with the Lord, and other times I feel like I am very far from where I should be. Well, that's an interesting right. statement. I guess your position with the Lord isn't really altering that dramatically. What is altering is your perception of it. So I want to talk about an examination of conscience just briefly, and then I have a point that I want to make. When, in order to have that peace of mind that I think we're all looking for, we're all trying to scratch that itch. It's not an easy one to scratch because that weird desire, that something, that empty hole was put there on purpose by your Creator so that you would look for Him, so you would come looking. And so, to that end, if in fact you're on a quest to improve yourself, your relationship with God, then you're going to be struggling with your weaknesses. And in struggling with your weaknesses, you're going to trip and you're going to fall. If I'm talking to somebody out there who is not committing sins intentionally or accidentally, goodness, let's hear from you. And for goodness sake, before you hang up, give me a blessing. This is the deal. So in order for you to go, now, when you're Catholic, you've got a confessional, you can go in, you can confess your sins, and under certain circumstances, you can be forgiven, and those are simple. You're going to examine your conscience. You're going to be sincerely sorry for your sins. You're going to tell the priest what they are, and you're going to resolve to amend your life, and after you confess, you're going to be given a penance of some kind. Usually it's prayer. However, if you've stolen something, they may tell you, take that back. So what I want to say is, and this is what it says, for those of you who aren't Catholic, in James 5, there is an interesting statement, and it is this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power while it is working. Okay, I'm going to repeat that just one time because it's short. This is James 5. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power while it is working. Okay, so you take a look at yourself and you say, well, I haven't committed any idolatry. I don't take the Lord's name in vain. Commandment 3, keep the Lord's day holy. I go to church. Honor your mother and your father. Well, I do when I feel like it. Thou shalt not kill. I didn't kill anybody. You shouldn't commit adultery. I don't do that, I haven't flirted with the neighbor's wife. Go, boy, go. Look at you. Look at you. You're amazing. You shouldn't steal. You don't want to bear false witness. That, of course, would be even slander, scandal, gossip. So, but you say, well, okay, I haven't done any of those things. Well, let me put a finer point to it. I am the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. Do you pray every day? Do you seek God with your heart? Do you surrender yourself to God's will? Are you obstinate? When you think God wants you to go one way, do you go another? You say, well, you don't take the Lord's name in vain. Well, have you ever been angry with God? my hands up. Have I ever wished evil on another person? Well, of course you have. I mean, let's be reasonable here. Keep the Lord's Day holy. Have you been going to church? Do you observe, say, a day like Good Friday? We all know what it is. Do you stop at 11:30 or noon when the sky always seems to darken wherever you are and stop and pray? Well, I don't know. Have you neglected your duty here? Honor your mother and your father. Do I honor and obey my parents? Have I neglected duties to my spouse or children? Have I given my children a good religious example? Moving on, thou shalt not kill. Well, okay, there is a line somewhere, and I don't know if it's in the Old or New Testament, but it is said this. It is said, you who call your brother Raka is guilty of murder. Now, this isn't a religious program. I'm gonna get off this momentarily. But what I'm trying to show you here is a tool that you can use to take a good hard look at who you are, and then before you say you haven't committed any sins, before you, you know, go and ask for forgiveness, make sure you know what you've done. You're not guilty of murder. Well, bullying is a wonderful form of murder. It's a way to murder people without getting caught. The person who calls his brother Raka, which in Hebrew I believe means crazier than crazy, what you're doing is you're murdering that person's spirit, okay? That person, when they're being bullied or something like that, they will cease to flourish. They will withdraw. They will stop growing. And in some cases, they will commit suicide. So you've got to understand the nature. It was when the Jews were given the Ten Commandments, they were really rudimentary and they were rough. I mean, but at the advent of let's just say the coming of Christ and the sacrifice for you and for your sins, we have a new set of laws. And they're much refined, and what I'm telling you is, these are they. These are them. And you shouldn't commit adultery. All right, I didn't. Okay, well, have you been faithful to your wedding vows? Do you ever look at porn? Do you look lustful? Women in the stores, or how about your neighbor's wife, yada, yada? If you have, then you remember the famous Jimmy Carter line, I guess I have committed adultery in my heart. Okay, all right. So, okay, I'm not gonna go any further with this because I think you're getting the idea. You also have not stealing. Don't bear false witness. Bearing false witness. Did you ever say anything? Did you gossip? Have you lied? Did you say something that harms somebody's reputation? Behind their back, it goes on and on and on. Thank God it stops at 10, or I'd probably have a heart attack. So I tell you that I do not particularly see myself as a holy individual because not only have I done these things, unfortunately, I kind of continue to do some of these things. And so I always find myself in need of forgiveness. So here's another
don't we all, Rick?
I hope you always feel that slight pain, that twinge in your conscience that says you really aren't square with God. You really do have work to do. There are those bizarre occasions where I have had people out of nowhere just come to me, or they're with me, and maybe we're off to the side, and they will all of a sudden unload on me. They will tell me something they've done wrong, and if that happens to you, when that happens to you, my statement to you is: blessed are you because you're being trusted. Somebody is bearing their conscience to you. And what they're hoping is that they're wounded. They're hoping you can help them. They're hoping that even after telling you this, you'll still like them. They're trusting you.
Right.
What you don't want to do at that point is say, it's okay, don't worry about it. That's not what the person needs. And for God's sakes, don't say, oh, yeah, listen to what I did. Okay, this is not a pissing contest. This is not one-upsmanship. This is not that kind of thing. This person is injured, and they need help, and they're looking to you. So what you'll do is you'll go back to the simple conditions of making a confession, because that is exactly what they're doing. James 5, they're telling you their sins. So they've examined their conscience. They're injured. Apparently, they're sorry. They wouldn't be talking to you. And they're confessing. Okay, there's only two to go. Okay, so what you might say is, so there's four. There's, what, two more? You're going to resolve to amend your life, and you're going to do reparation. Okay, so we're all the way to number four with your friend. This person, okay, you say, okay, all right, I see what you're talking about. You probably learned something from this. You probably won't let that happen again, will you? No, I'm not going to. Okay, number four is out of the way. And then all you got to do is make a helpful comment to this person so they can heal. Say, okay, look, why don't you try this? If you've injured somebody, try apologizing. If you have looked at porn, stop looking at it. Don't do it anymore. Every day, add a few prayers to your prayer list in order to try to square yourself. You know, pay back your debt. That's the whole thing when you make restitution. And so if you find yourself in that marvelous position of having somebody confide in you, as it exists in James 5, take the opportunity to help that person. And I think what you're going to find at the end of this, if you manage to do this successfully, after that, you're going to have a much better friend than you had before, because that person is going to like you and trust you until the day they die. Well,
right.
Before we go to gardening, did you have any kind of a comment? Did you want to say anything about that?
Well, I agree with you on everything you said, actually, Rick. I know that personally, as I've grown in Christ, I have the things I never thought were wrong to do or to neglect. I've come to the understanding that the closer I get to Christ, the more things I have to work on. And it's a continuing effort. At least that's where I'm at.
Well, and that's, in my opinion, that is a great place to be. I'm not the judge. I'm certainly not the jury. So good. Yeah, I'd say keep after it. Any ground you make up here in this life is just ground that you won't have to deal with in the next one. In what we would call purgatory, you're closing the gap between you and the pearly gates. And man, I'm all for it. We're going to talk about food, and let me kind of set the stage.
Well, we got the break first,
Rich.
You timed that perfectly, actually.
Skippy peanut butter, yeah. Okay, thanks. We'll be back.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. We're going to start taking calls at the top of the hour. So hang on.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN. Just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719 extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Saturday, 22nd day of January, year of our Lord, 2022. And you are listening to the Rural Survival Show right here on RBN. We're getting ready to talk about gardening. We'll start taking calls on at the top of the second hour. Rick, please continue, sir.
Yeah, so food scarcity, it is continuing unabated. In fact, it's being exacerbated by the vax mandates. There's a lot of stuff that crosses. Apparently, now I was not aware of this, but a lot of stuff crosses from the U.S. into Canada and back and forth.
Right.
There are, lumber, produce, a lot of things over there in the British Columbia area. Is a pretty decent climate for growing things. You get the tsunami trade winds or whatever comes off that ocean keeps the temperatures somewhat moderated. I know Bigfoot loves it, so it's good, right? So we have these truck drivers. A lot of these guys just don't want to be vaxxed. In fact, it looks like, if the numbers are correct, it looks like we've got a problem up there with around 80,000 truckers.
Right, that's the number I heard.
Good. So what you get up there, okay, so now you got a truckload of, you got a reefer, a refrigerator truck full of produce. They get up in the truck driver's face, which is doesn't seem like social distancing, and you ask him for his vax papers and you don't have them, and they turn that reefer around. Now you've got a real timing problem because you've got a truckload of produce, and that's a lot, which isn't going where it's supposed to be going. It's not going to be handled properly, and it's likely going to get thrown out. So right. this sort of nonsense, or as Winston Churchill told the Queen of England, this is the sort of nonsense up with which I will not put. It was a joke because she was getting on his back about ending sentences with a preposition. We are told now that it's fine. If you don't know how to speak properly, it's perfectly okay. But you see, what he would have said was, it's the sort of nonsense I won't put up with as a preposition. Uh-huh. Okay, moving on. So you have the what I always want to mention, and I'm not at all certain I ever have, is that if you've been storing food, I hope I didn't say this last week. If you've been storing food for any length of time, you were buying it at bargain prices. We are suffering right now with foodflation at around 17%.
We are.
From product, oh good. It varies from product to product and place to place. But right now, if I buy a bag of rice, bulk bag of rice, I'm paying around $17, $17.50. Except now it's a 25-pound bag, whereas it was, say, 3 years ago, maybe even two, right before the pandemic, I suppose, it was a 50-pound bag. So for rice, we have a 100% increase. That's not 17. I can live with 17, but now it's 100. So, you know, cans of soup. Not that I'm a fan of storing cans of soup because it's a reasonably short term window. Although, you know, if you keep rotating stock, there are some soups that are really cool to keep, and I don't mean chicken noodle. I mean some of the cream soups, which can help you in cooking, like cream of celery, cream of mushroom. Tomato soup is a lovely thing. I would say those three are great because they really help in making food more palatable. But once again, you're faced with that situation. A while back, I think a can of Campbell's was around 75 cents. Now it's more like $1 to $1.20. You can get it on sale, you know, if they ever bring it down. I've seen it on sale for $1, $1.05. You see there's a problem even with that. And the problem is the shelf life. You know, okay, so let's say you're gonna take it out. Back out, it'll expire in 2 years, if that. But let's say you hang on to it for four. So, you know, now you've got a can of soup, at 4 years compounded at 17. You now have an expensive can of soup. It's almost not worth having. I guess what I would say, let's see here, I did the math for you. 17% compounded 3 years is 60% increase, okay? And so I know what you're going to say. Okay, so I got a break.
Yep, it's already that time, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Please hang on.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Saturday, the 22nd of January in the year of our Lord, 2022. You're listening to the Rural Survival Show right here on RBN. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Folks, before we jump into gardening, we both have a few announcements I need to make. First, I want to mention our sponsors, which are Water Revolution, who makes the Ready Pure countertop water filter. Guys, this is a must-have. You know, most of you listening, I'm sure, depend on electricity to get the water either from your pump or you're on a municipal or county water system that requires electricity to distribute the water, to pump the water. Well, if for some reason that was to fail, one of these Ready Pure countertop units would really, really help you. You can go 3 weeks without food, but you can't really get past 3 days without water. And you don't want to drink dirty water. That's the, you know, if you get sick from that, that's some of the, one of the worst kinds of death I can imagine. You know, especially when there's no medical available. But anyway, if you go to ruralsurvival.life, which is our website, and that's ruralsurvival.life, you'll see a banner near the top of the page. Check them out. I'm not, you know, begging you to buy one, but check them out, folks. I think you might be really impressed. They also got a lot of other products which will give you clean water, like their under-sink unit, which we have one of, and we've also got a whole house unit which seems to be working great. But anyway, you might want to take a look at it. Now, on the same page, right below that banner, is Extendabyte. I'm sorry, I was drawing a blank for a second, folks. Extendabyte is something that Rick and Ori and I use on a daily basis. It really does seem to help. It costs you, it's $69.99, 70 bucks for a 2 month supply. And anyway, it's worth checking out. I'll vouch for it, and so will Rick and Ori. And then finally, on our website, there's a link to our Shopify store. Now, we've got a bunch of these masks left, these mosquito netting masks. I know there's not quite as much of a demand for them as there was, but you might want to look at that. I think we've got pretty much all the colors in stock. And also, we've added something new. We're able to get some Make America Great Again hats. The red ones are 3D type embroidered. This says MAGA for MAGA. And we've got some pink ones for the ladies, and it says Make America Great Again, you know, spelled out. And they're embroidered also. They look like pretty good quality hats. So if you want to get a jump on the campaign season, or if you just want to make some liberals cry and some snowflakes melt, you know, you can go take a look at those. Again, you get there by going to ruralsurvival.life. There's a link on the left-hand side. I just clicked on the one that says for mask. I haven't updated the website yet to say hats. But anyway, you'll see them there. And we got another one coming in, and another style coming in April, which I think everybody's really going to like. Okay, Rick, sorry for being so long-winded, buddy.
It's okay. They wrote the ladies out in longhand there because they know that girls can read. A thing about the water, about water poisoning, about bad water, it makes me wonder. You know, you've got that amoeba, protozoa, whatever that thing is. Called, I think it's Giardia. I wonder if ivermectin and silver solution wouldn't straighten you right up.
The ivermectin might, but I'm pretty sure would.
Well, it kills every worm on the planet. It kills every worm that exists. I don't know if those things exist as a worm type deal. Anyway, it'd be. It certainly wouldn't hurt to give it a crank if you were in trouble.
That's for sure. Well, I don't know if I had COVID or not. I'll tell you, I had some kind of a virus about 3 weeks ago, and I thought it might be COVID. And even though the test came back negative, but you can't trust the test. But anyway, I took ivermectin for 3 days. And within 36 hours, I was feeling much better. Within 72, I felt great.
Well, so, you know what? You're healthy as a horse, you see. Get that, see, because that's...
Yeah, I got it.
I get that. I get that from everybody, you know. They laugh at me, and you know, if I say that ivermectin helps with COVID, ha, ha, ha.
I think it helps with all viruses.
Well, it's supposed to kill 16 or 18 of them, so there you go. So it should cure the common cold, and it should also kill Omicron, which is a common cold. Moving on, back to the rate of inflation in food. I did some math for you guys, I did it for me too. And since our interests are aligned, I'm helping you out. If they weren't, I wouldn't. If you have 100 pounds of rice, okay, which is going to be 4 bags, you're going to pay about $100, $100 and a little more than that. If the inflation rate stayed right where it is right now, and it won't, but if it did.
No.
A bag of rice,
Let me interrupt for a second. Rick,
go ahead.
I was listening to Claire Pye this morning, and finishing up the video I started watching last night while I was doing my web work or listening to him. And he's saying that this year is looking more like 70% inflation.
Right. I guess there's really, really no real way to calculate that. I will accept his educated opinion. It's as good as anybody else's and better than mine. Inflation is going to accelerate, and, you know, we have arguments about what hyperinflation might look like, but, you know, we're obviously headed there.
I think hyperinflation is defined as 50% inflation per month.
Right.
Is what they call hyperinflation.
My personal opinion is we'll get there. And my personal opinion is they did this on purpose, okay?
I agree.
But we'll get to the financial nonsense after the gardening. We're going to get back to that, assuming we have time. But so that's all right. The 100 pounds of rice now will cost you 105, 110 bucks. If the rate of inflation stayed the same for the next 20 years, which if you store your rice in a bucket, in Mylar, with oxygen absorbers, it will last 20 to 30 years, but I stopped doing math at 20. If the rate of inflation remained as it is, in 20 years, that same 100 pounds of rice would cost you over $2,300 bucks. Okay, so...
Right.
I don't know what you're thinking about doing for a living, but it better be bank robbery or something.
Or become a banker.
That is robbery. Yeah, that's bank robbery too. Just the victims change. Before we go on to the what crops you might grow as this situation is exacerbated by criminals, we're going to just talk briefly, very briefly, about this. China, interestingly enough, about 3 weeks ago, started closing their trade doors. They are telling Chinese manufacturers, you're not shipping the stuff out. They're hoarding everything. And they want the manufacturers who used to put that stuff in a container and ship it over to San Francisco or L.A., find domestic markets, find local markets for your stuff. It's not leaving the country. They are hoarding food, energy, metals, rare earths, particularly food. They're locking the place down for something. And I am not going to be crazy enough to try to guess what that might be. I'm not going to risk what's left of my credibility telling you what that is, but I can tell you this can't be good for us. It might be in the long run, because we'll have to begin to take care of ourselves. We kind of quit that like about 30 or 40 years ago when we let China start creating everything. You know, we get all our vegetables from Mexico and Canada. I mean, you know, we have turned into a bunch of consumers, a bunch of couch potato messes, and it's going to be painful. It's going to be painful digging our way out of the hole we dug ourselves into, and we're going to have to do it. But in any case, let's see. This is financial. I don't want to do this. Moving along to that problem of the food. There is as I said to Tim before the show, there is a gentleman's disagreement regarding how much garden space it takes to support a person. The average number turns out to be about 1,250 feet, okay? So that would be... I don't know what
15 by a 12 and a half by 10 foot pot, right?
Well, yeah, Yeah. 12 and a half. Is that right? I had it at about 11 paces square. I guess that's about right. Yeah. So, but that's assuming that you're a good gardener. If you're an average or bad gardener, you're gonna need more space than that. Okay. So what I did was just for fun. Here in St. Louis, we have neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood, not where I live, but back in where I used to live. It was not uncommon to have a quarter-acre lot with a 900 to 1,200 square-foot house on that thing, which would be where I grew up. I thought the backyard was literally the size of Kansas, because that's how long it took me to run from the front to the back. But as my friend Scott said, good morning, Scott. As my friend Scott said, my dog ran away when I was 10, and I could still see it for 3 days. He's from Kansas. Get it? Mm-hmm. Never mind. Moving along.
I get it.
Thank you. So what will happen is, with that house on that lot, that's going to leave you around 9,600 square feet, and that, if you're a good gardener, and your neighbors aren't eating out of your yard, which I don't know why they wouldn't, you got enough space for 8 people. Okay, but to that effect, let me suggest this. That's if you know how to garden. That's if you're going to be smart enough to plant things that sustain people. An entire yard full of tomato plants and pepper plants is not going to do it, okay?
No.
I think personally the days of hobby gardening have kind of passed us by, and I think what you better be doing is spending your time figuring out how to grow those things that sustain you. When things get bad enough that they're really, really screwing around with your weekly shopping, and in some places it's already happening. Places have a lot of empty shelves, no produce, no fresh produce. I mean, it's places wiped bare. some meat, a few canned goods, rice-a-roni. I mean, it just depends on where you are. It's really spotty, but I think, I mean, shouldn't we have always guessed that a situation like this would not necessarily descend on the entire country evenly? I mean, that's kind of Pollyanna. You would think that as supply chains are disrupted, that the outages would be spotty. It makes sense when you think about it. So for those people who are in a zone where for some reason they're just not getting decent deliveries of goods, they are already in trouble. Okay.
Yeah.
I think, shouldn't you infer that it's coming to a store near you at some point? At some point this year, I would suspect. And we are at a very exciting time right now, where the banking is going to collapse and spring is here and you get to garden. I'm changing the subject a little bit. I'm only like 4 to 6 weeks away from getting to put in inside all of my nightshades, which will include the eggplants, peppers, and tomatoes. Those really aren't survival staples. I'm going to say tomatoes might be, because they are so useful and so nutritious and reasonably easy to grow. I would probably make allowances for the tomatoes, and eggplants too, for that matter. Actually, eggplant for me, when I get it right, is so highly productive and it stores so well that it's just really a great crop. Peppers, well, I could live without. I can certainly live without peppers. So it's fun to grow them, pickle them. But other than that, we don't need to. I can, if I've got a space, if I have a, a constriction. If I have a space problem, I don't have enough space to put in all the things I want, peppers would have to go. So, to that event too, in order to make 1,250 square feet work for you as a productive space, you're going to have to learn the art of flipping beds. And I don't mean turning the dirt over. I mean, you're going to plant a crop that provides for you food and nutrition for a lot of people. And then the minute it's done, you would have plants ready in flats to put right back in. And I mean, like, no time wasted. Bing, bang, boom, same day. Everything comes out, everything goes right back in. Okay, you got to keep the bed in production. For those people also with limited space, I mean, you know, you're gonna be planting one of the most productive survival crops is going to be winter squash. Certain winter squash, especially the smaller ones, like the ones that are really disease resistant, like Cherokee tan, Seminole pumpkin, spaghetti squash. These things do really well with heat, humidity, bug pressure, disease pressure. They do well. They also will grow vertically. So if you've got limited space, if you were to put up a cheesy chain link fence on the one side of the garden and plant those up against that, and you can do the same thing with your summer squash and your cukes, get those vertical. That way you're taking up almost no space. You're maximizing the space. And, you know, if you think growing vines on, let's say, chain link is just too ugly, put in something decorative, I guess. You can make your own trellis out of willow switches, sticks, anything like that. You want to do. They also sell what's called hortonium trellis, which looks like a plastic fishnet. It's about 6 feet high, and it comes on a roll. You just drive some T-posts in, zip tie the hortonova trellis to the T-post, grow up that, and when you're done, you just cut the zip ties and you throw the entire mess away or burn it. You know that, and then you're all cleaned up. So that's growing vertical. Let me jump forward here to what crops that professional gardeners are suggesting that you would be growing. Dual-purpose crops like beets, where you get to eat the tops and the roots. You don't cut all the tops off at once. You simply rip off the leaves on the side, leaving the center leaves, so that the beet root continues. You do the same thing with turnips. You side harvest the bigger, lower leaves, and you cook them up. They're very nutritious, and then when the turnip's ready, which is reasonably short, you know, it's less than 2 months, take that. Kohlrabi, exact same thing. Kohlrabi, take the big leaves off the sides, leave the center tender leaves there. These are three very important crops, reasonably quick crops. And then you have onions, nest onions, and garlic. Now, nesting onions are kind of weird. They look like a bunch of onions that somebody sat on. You plant one nesting onion, and you get about 15, at the end of the year, you get about 15 nesting onions, and they're kind of football shaped but small, maybe 2 inches long. They all come from a central place, and they're splayed out, though. So what you do with those is you harvest some of them, leaving some of them, and they just can. The great thing about nesting onions is you really only have to plant them one time, and you can get those, I believe, at Haas Tools. So you can always have onions in your yard. Garlic you can basically treat the same way. Potatoes, very important crop. Easy to grow for everybody but me. because no matter what happens, there's always something that goes wrong. We either have too much rain in the spring and my seed crop rots, or deer come by and eat all the tops. This year, I still have the rootstock bed there. This year, I will put 10-foot T-posts all the way around with barbed wire, and I will grow potatoes. The only thing that I would mention with regard to this, and you'll probably almost all have better luck with it than I do, but they do like an acid soil. They don't like sweet or neutral soil. You want to get your pH down to as low as 5 or 5.5, which is kind of weird. But there are things that you can throw in your potato patch that will take the pH down there with basically one acquisition. I was talking to... I wonder if I should do this. I was, with regard to potatoes, I have been buying from the Mennonite store broken, and I know I said this before, but I'm going to say it just one more time, and then we're going to go on to garden beds if we have time. I think we're running out.
Yeah, we're almost out of time.
We've been buying broken bags of potato flakes, which... take up a lot of space in a bucket, a lot. One 40-pound bag, it takes like five-gallon buckets to get it in there. But, you know, just in case you're a bad potato farmer or you have bad luck like I do, you can still have potatoes. Sweet potatoes, this is the time right now for most people when you can start your sweet potato slips. Sweet potatoes are not potatoes at all. They're a member of the morning glory family, and so as such, the greens are highly edible and very attractive to deer. I have also had deer disasters with sweet potatoes. So if I'm going to grow sweet potatoes, I got to fence that off. However, you can look on the YouTubes and find out how to grow sweet potato slips. You can do this real easily with sweet potatoes from the store. Just put them on a windowsill in the light, and they'll start sprouting. And those are called slips. And those you carefully cut off a little bit of the potato, drop them in a glass of water, and they will root. And that is what you plant. They're slips, S-L-I-P-S.
Okay. Well, folks, we'll be back in approximately 2.5 minutes. Call-in number is 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Hang on, folks.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.